Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Snowy owls were spotted in Marion County this year. Let's go looking for one and go in-depth with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz. So Marla, virtually every dedicated bird watcher that I know has been on a journey like we're going. We're going to look for a specific bird, and you never know if you're going to see it or not.
You never know, but we're going to be looking to see if we can maybe catch a glimpse of a snowy owl today.
Well, and you saw one, what, how long ago? A few days ago, and then again yesterday?
Yes, Monday. Actually, it was first sighted on Saturday, and of course, they're such a nomadic bird, you never know where they're going to be. This is one of the mysterious birds from the Arctic tundra way up in northern Canada that is making their way down to Iowa. So it's called an eruption. And occasionally, every 4 or 5 years, we get an eruption of snowy owls. And they're starting to be noticeable in different areas throughout the state of Iowa right now. So hopefully we can catch a glimpse. But if not, it's, you know, that's kind of what happens. You just can't say that a healthy bird is going to be in a certain place at a certain time on a certain day anymore.
Well, what's the significance of snowy owls other than they're just beautiful? I presume they're like other owls, eat what they do, or a significant part of the ecosystem?
They are, very much so. And it's not, you know, a normal bird that you see in Iowa. It is a tundra bird, just like gerfalcons and saw-whets and some of the northern country birds that we just don't see that often. But they kind of follow the lemming population, which is their main food source in the tundra. And if there's a booming lemming population, then they usually have a really good breeding year. And so from the way it looks or appears with this year's eruption, that there was a great lemming population during the breeding season and them growing up. And of course, the tundra is very dark. Right now, it's very cold and snow covered, and the lemmings just aren't quite as easily to find right now. And the young birds, hatch year birds of last year, start moving south on the search of finding more food because there's a lot of birds. There's just a lot of owls that were hatched because the lemming population was so high.
Well, this bird, is it a male or a female? Can you tell?
This appears to be a hatch year female. Adult males are usually very, very white, where adult females still have some black wing bars and black modeling on their white wings. The younger birds are really kind of mottled a lot with a blackish brown color, and they have little ear tufts. They're a large bird. Actually, they're one of the largest owls in North America by weight. They are like a 4-pound owl, which is pretty heavy compared to our great horns and barts and some of our other owls that we have around here.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz about snowy owls. What are they doing so far south? Were they forced out of the feeding ground or what?
Well, they're like teenagers, and so when they get to a certain age, their parents start, you know, kicking them out of their area. You know, you find your own territory and you begin your own life, just like everything else does. And so basically, we're looking at teenagers out on their own right now. And they are looking for food. You know, they feed on Arctic hares, lemmings, waterfowl, things like that. If they happen to end up on a coast, whether it be East Coast or West Coast, it seems as though they do feed on a lot of waterfowl. So they're a large bird with lots of feathers on their feet, and they just deal better in the cold, and it's almost too warm for them here. But they're such a nomadic bird that they just move from one place to the other, and they're more of a diurnal feeder, which means a daytime feeder. And it's just one of those things that you may get a glimpse and you may not get a glimpse, but if you do, treasure that memory, because it just doesn't happen very often.
Well, I'm driving around, I mean, riding with you, and I'm looking around, and I don't even know how we would spot it. I guess since it's so wide, it would really stand out. But, I mean, there's lots of ravines and woods and fields.
Right, and you don't want to look for them around the treed areas. You want, open cornfields, grasslands, large areas that don't have a lot of things around it. They want the wide open space, and it's kind of deceiving with the cornfields the way they are, because they almost appear to the owl as a prairie or a grassland with all the stalks laying down, and so they kind of tend toward these field areas and the ditches, and sometimes you see them on light poles, sometimes you see them on old posts. But again, our habitat is so different than the tundra. They don't have trees there. They don't have people there. They don't have barbed wire fences and electric poles and things like that. So it just happens that you may or may not, you know, get a glimpse of it. Sometimes we get a lot of calls of seeing snowy owls in fields, and it might be a white plastic bag or a white bucket, but it's that observation that people are really out looking for something that just doesn't look like it's placed appropriately.
Well, I would have gone to the wrong places. I'd have been looking in the trees. Good thing you're leading.
Well, I'm not leading. I'm just kind of driving and talking at the moment, because it's, you don't know where they may be. I have a tendency to kind of know the territory of where this young female has kind of been hanging out a little bit. But again, you may not ever find the bird again. You know, they may move miles away from where you think they should be. Again, they're daytime. We do kind of stress a little bit of viewing etiquette too when it comes to watching snowy owls. Their behavior is much different than ours, and they seem to be a little bit more docile and maybe not take so much notice to traffic and things like that. But you tend to want to stay in your vehicle and not approach them. Sometimes when we get too close, we do scare them a little bit, and it adds a little bit of stress on top of what stress they already have from their migration here. So it's good just to kind of stay back away and observe. It's nice to have a camera, but you know what? I've missed a lot of memories by worrying about where my camera was and trying to get a capture a shot. So it's just good to kind of stay back. You don't want to try and bait them or use bird calls to try and call them in or things like that. It's a totally different type of owl that lives in Iowa, and we just have to treat them a little bit differently, knowing what stresses can occur with them. And being first-year birds, a lot of the raptors, whether they be hawks, owls, any type of bird, first-year birds have a high mortality rate. Either they can't find the amount of food, or they get hit by cars, or they run into barbed wire fences, or they run into power lines, things like that. So there's a high mortality rate anyway on first-year birds of any kind. So the less stress that they have, and the less interactions that they have with people is probably for the best.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz about snowy owls.
What was it, a few years ago, wasn't there news stories about them starving or something? There was a big problem with them.
Well, 4 or 5 years ago, it was 2013, I believe, we did have a few snowy owls. That was another large eruption year, so apparently that was a good lemming year as well, and there were a lot of young located in Iowa. But again, their habitat is a little different here, and for them to catch rabbits and our voles, which are kind of like mice, only they're a little bit bigger and they have some fur on the tail, is what they're going to be looking for mainly here, unless they get around the edges to where there might be some waterfowl around. So it just kind of depends on the bird, and they get exhausted and things happen just like with any other bird. But we did take numerous birds in throughout Iowa to rehabilitation facilities in 2013, and I work along with SOAR quite a bit with Birds of Prey, and I know she has had 3 or 4 come in already.
This year.
So
for rehab, what happened?
For rehabilitation. Barbed wire fences is one, and possibly two. Another one was hit by a car. The ones that she's been getting in, there was one that was extremely underweight. As I say, 4 pounds is about the average, and it weighed a little above a pound and a half. So it was really emaciated by the time it got to her. But sometimes it takes a while to find those birds too, because they're ground birds more often than not, and so it's natural for them to be grounded, and it just is unique to us to see a grounded bird. But there's been quite a few brought in already. This bird that I happened to run across, there's been just a few people that have run across it, and she looks healthy. She seems to be okay. She flies well, and that's about all I can hope for. So,
but we don't know if she's going to stay.
We don't know if she's going to stay. She's already moved, as of this morning, about 4 miles away from where she was yesterday. And I think what we'll do is just, we're going to backtrack and go back to some grounds that she really, really liked to hang around, and see if we can maybe run across her a little bit. Again, you know, we could be out here for hours. So I don't think we're probably going to do that, but we're just going to take a little time and travel the back roads and see if we can look around the fields and the fence posts a little bit.
Well, it'd be more fun to be out walking, but it's just like we've got so many miles to cover, we'd never make it.
Yes, these birds are, as I say, they're very nomadic, and you just can't guarantee on getting to see something that you would like to see. We do have quite a lot of northern birds, not clear from the tundra, coming in, but we do have a lot of eagles moving in right now, and I've noticed in the past 2 weeks numerous eagles that are surrounding the lake, and our eagles that live here year-round are protecting their territory. They've been building on nests since October, and they'll be kind of hanging around as close as they can to their own territories until the lake freezes up, since we have so many northern birds moving in. But there's other tundra birds that have started moving this way too. We have saw-whet owls that sometimes make it their way here, and rough-legged hawks, and we've got some short-eared owls that have been spotted. And a lot of those birds, again, kind of like the grasslands, you know, they're way up north and they don't have a lot of the habitat that we have. So it's kind of nice just to get out and take a little drive. You just never know what you're going to find.
Well, we've searched and searched and we've came up short, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
We did. And yeah, as I say, I was a little surprised that she moved that far since the evening. But that's okay. You know, they're hunting. She's got big territory, and with all the fields that are around, she just seems to get away from the timbered areas and the lake areas. And you know, I was pretty diverse in their habitats, and the eagles need those trees along the river corridors. And there are certain birds that need strictly grasslands in order to survive. So,
well, we'll have to wish her luck.
We will wish her luck. And it was a nice memory for her to say hi.
Thanks to Marla Mertz for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.